Yeah, how do you transition out of that? It's just great. It's just like people want to keep singing the medleys and stuff. So thank you so much for those medleys. And if you did not get a Shine mug earlier, we have more Shine mugs available. So they're back there and they're waiting for you. And we tapped out all the coffee. The coffee's gone. So we'll have to double up our coffee next time. It's great to have you with us. We're continuing our series called I Promise, which is a kind of a response to our earlier previous series called The Promise. And earlier in the service today, we sang Morning Into Dancing. And it was about a month ago, almost to this day, that we paused here in our service and we took 23 seconds of silence. How many of you were here for that service about a month ago where we took 23 seconds of silence? And most of you will know that almost a month ago there was a tragedy. And you can put the pieces of the puzzle together of why we took 23 seconds of silence, that something had happened just a few days before. Talked that Sunday about how I, as a pastor, was really struggling. That was the Sunday that we were supposed to be focusing on joy, because joy was our Advent focus. And how, you know, I struggled as a pastor and really tried to negotiate with God. I did as much bargaining as I possibly could do for my own benefit, not just for yours. But I really kind of wanted to maybe talk God into allowing me to go a different direction than just speaking on joy. I struggled with how does it make sense for me to speak on joy, and what kind of pastor does that after a tragedy? And I really thought in talking to God that he would see my point of things and that God would understand that where I was coming from, and he would work with me. And some of you were here that Sunday, and we talked on joy. That one does not want to work for me. Things change. A month ago, we took 23 seconds of silence, and today we light 26 candles. And it's almost a month to date. A lot changes in a month, and we move on, and life moves on, and sometimes it moves really fast. Sometimes a month can feel like a year, and we can move so fast. And it can move so quickly that we just, because of the pace of life and because of our wanting to move on, I'm going to try one more time. She's not budging. Life moves on, and a month can transpire, and then we forget. And I haven't forgot December 16th, that Sunday, in which I had to teach on joy and really trusted God in that endeavor of, okay, God, so you want me to teach on joy in the midst of a tragedy, and please show me something, speak to me, teach me, please let me know your ways, and please illumine your truth in new ways so that I might be surprised and I might understand, God, why you want me to teach on joy at a time such as this. And now, only divine planning could have put this into play. We have Morning Into Dancing, the same song we sang that Sunday. And the same Sunday, almost a month from date, I was scheduled again. And no purposeful planning here other than trying to be faithful. And today just happens to be the day where I'm to teach on joy again. And if you were here about a month ago, we talked about joy and talked about how the fact of I had to really, in teaching that service, I had to really trust God, and God took me places in biblical study that I needed to go. And I talked about the Hebrew word for joy was smah, smah. And then I talked about the Greek word for joy was kar. And I talked about when I studied those words, began to study those words, God began to show me what joy really is, what it means, what joy is, the meaning of joy. And if you were here that Sunday in the midst of that timing, we talked about that joy is native to God in the sense of joy is a protective word, sma, in the Old Testament, sma. That when the Israelites would have heard the word joy, it wouldn't have meant the same for us as it did for them. That it meant protection, that God is protecting us, that God is with us. And that was their source of joy, was God's protection. I'd never known that about joy. I'd never equated joy with protection and God's protection. I've always equated joy with an emotional experience or something that just comes your way because of a blessing. But for the Israelites in the Old Testament, joy, they had joy, they experienced joy because they knew that God was their God and He would protect them. The other thing I talked about that morning was that I also learned it and shared with you that as we studied the word joy, sma, and kar, that it also, and this is really, really key here, that joy is the opposite of fear. That joy is the opposite of fear, meaning that biblically speaking, that when we are given a joy, that joy takes away, that joy begins to work out our fears. And so that we can have a joy, a protective joy that comes into our hearts and can only come from God, and that protective joy takes root, and that protective joy starts to settle, it starts to ease, it starts to work out, it starts to help dissipate our fears, and so that we become people who are joyful, and by being joyful, we aren't so dominated, and the interior of our life isn't so filled with fears, that we become fearless. Not out of our own accord, but we become fearless because we know that God is with us and that God is a protective God. And talked about that Sunday, about that's what joy means biblically. That was for the series, The Promise. Now this series, I promise that God wants to take us even further in our learning on these subjects of love, joy, peace, and hope. Those are Advent themes, but God wants to take us farther in our learning of them. And so that's what we're going to do today. So will you pray with me? Dear God, we just come to you today. And may your words speak to our hearts and shape who we are. In your name we pray. Amen. Continuing my study of joy, and I was like, okay, so God, I know where you took us in joy in December. Where do you want to take us in January? What new things do you want to teach us about joy? And so it all happened in John chapter 15, verse 11. If you want to go there, we have the Bibles, and we can even turn up the lights a little bit. If you can lift up the lights for me a little bit so those of you who want to read Scripture, you can read Scripture. If we just lift the house lights a little bit, that'd be great. And it went to John 15, 11. And as I looked at that verse, I couldn't help but just take it and read it. And John 15, 11, I have told you this, so that you will be filled with my joy. John 15, 11. I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Who is my? Who is my? Now, let's read verses 9 and 10 together to get the answer. Who is my? As the Father has loved me. These are verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as if I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So who is my? Well, my is Jesus Christ. There's a song, one of my favorite bands, quite a few of you know him. It's not my favorite band. I mean, probably your favorite band too. David Crowder Band. You've heard of David Crowder Band? There's some thumbs going up and some people are like, yeah, can you get them here? And you know, David Crowder Band. Yeah, if you know them, then get them here. They're one of my favorite bands. I don't know them. Texas band, by the way. There in Waco, Texas. I don't know if Waco's central, west, east, central Texas. I always thought that like East Texas could be its own state, and then Central Texas could be its own state and west because it's so big, you know. But David Crowder Band from Waco, Texas. And David Crowder Band has a song. It's called You Are My Joy. You are my joy. Who is their joy? Jesus Christ is their joy. You are my joy. If you've never heard it, it's a great, powerful worship song. And go to your iTunes and download David Crowder. You won't regret it. and download the song You Are My Joy. It just rocks. And there's just, but I was preparing for this message, and the song You Are My Joy is on my iTunes, and so I played it, and I thought, oh my goodness, we have to continue our learning of joy, that New Testament, that scripturally and biblically, joy is not just some emotion that God sporadically gives to us. Joy is not something that God just gives to us when we're going through hard times and we need a little joy. It's not a little pill that God delivers to us mysteriously and we take it. But joy is a person. Now get this, that earlier in December we studied that joy was an attribute of God. And it is. But joy, more importantly and biblically understood, and as Christians we need to understand this, joy is a person. Joy is Jesus Christ. So that joy becomes very personal. That joy is not mysterious, that it's not just something that we occasionally are able to experience, or that if we're down in the dumps, that God is gonna use His Spirit to give us, infuse us with joy. But joy is not an emotion. Joy is an assurance that is given to us through Jesus Christ. Joy is a person. Last week, we started off the series, I Promise, and I had to confess to you that I had been talking with and dealing with a person, and he's going through a hard time in his life, a very hard time. That's an understatement for me to say hard time. He's going through a very hard time. And I talked to you about how him and I were having a conversation, and this person is soon going to experience, inevitably, it is an inevitable loss. He is going to experience a huge loss. And I shared with you about how he and I were talking about this. And his world is going to change very soon. On all fronts, this guy's world is going to change. Now, you could pray and pray, and you continue praying, but you know the truth, and there's a truth in the situation that his world is going to change very soon. And he's going to have to brace himself for that. He's going to have to learn to deal with that. He's going to have to learn to go on in the future and to live. And it talked about that. And I had to make the confession last week that as I talked to this guy going through a very hard time, that I did good counseling. I did some good counseling. I did some therapy with him. I did some therapy. And I tried to do whatever I could do to help that guy through that conversation. But as I stepped away from that conversation and as I was able to reflect on that conversation, what did I fail to do? Were you here? Who was here last week? Do you remember what my failure was? And I had to confess what my failure was. What did I fail to do? What's that? I failed to mention the name of Jesus Christ and to direct him to Jesus Christ. I was trying so hard to be a good friend. I was trying so hard to give him some feel-good conversation. I wanted him so hard just to know who I was, and he would just take it for granted that I would refer him. He would just take it for granted, since the pastor, that I was saying Jesus Christ without saying Jesus Christ. But I failed to specifically say Jesus Christ. I failed to direct him to and to guide him to and refer him to Jesus Christ. Because all I could do in that situation, all I should have done, was referred him to Jesus Christ. I talked about how this series, I Promise, is going to be about, in December, we came for a series called The Promise. We were recipients of The Promise. How I Promise is going to be a series where we promise not to sit here and be just recipients of God's truth and the promise that he gives us, but we're going to be sharers of the promise, that we are going to share the promise. And it was right there in the midst of my failure and reflecting on that conversation that God said to me, you need to promise me that you're going to quit being a recipient and you're going to start being a sharer, that you're going to share the promise. And the promise is Jesus Christ. Last week, for those of you who weren't here, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're in good places. I'm sure you had a great day. I'm not trying to guilt you, but if you were here last week, we had a basket full of 100 bags of Cherry Republic candy, right? And how many of you don't, you ate it and there's none left over, right? And it was history. It was history. By the time the service was over, there were empty bags. And you came up and I said, take a bag of Cherry Republic candy and you can go back to your seats and you can eat it. And by the end of the spiel, you probably went home and you went, I don't ever want to hear Chad say Cherry Republic again. Okay, we get it. The guy loves it. I did fail to mention last week that I sent my two sisters Cherry Republic gift baskets for Christmas, too, because I'm so big on Cherry Republic. And we had 100 bags of Cherry Republic and candy. And I shared last week that I wanted you, Cherry Republic's my favorite place, and I wanted you to experience Cherry Republic. And that's why we had Cherry Republic here. And I love Cherry Republic, and I can't help but always share about Cherry Republic whenever the occasion gives itself, lends itself to being there. And I talked about the fact of how we need to, how just as we want to share our favorite product or we want to share our favorite book or we want to share our favorite recommendation for a restaurant or we want to share our, I talked about how this series is going to challenge us. God's going to speak to us about the fact of, are we sharing Jesus Christ? Are we sharing Jesus Christ? I mean, if I were to ask you a question, when's the last time you shared something with somebody? It wouldn't be hard because you're sharers. We're sharers, really. We share. And if I said, when's the last time you shared something with somebody else, you would have an answer, right? So think about it. When's the last time you shared something with somebody else? Shared a recommendation. You shared a recipe. You shared a favorite dish. When's the last time you shared something with somebody else? Think about that. What did you share with that person? What was it? And now share with somebody around you your answer right now. Just take a minute, look at somebody and say, last time I shared something with somebody else, I shared this. What was it? Go ahead and just share your sharing experiences. And we can affirm how much of sharers we are. And so there was conversation, and there was a lot of talking. So we are sharers. We just affirmed that we're sharers. I'm going to invite you to go to your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter 15, is where we're going to read from. This is our central text today. This is text that God has given to us that we might learn and go farther in our understanding of joy. So if you go to chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 8, and that is page 1105. 1105. A lot of you are very familiar with this chapter. This chapter has multiple parables that are all about the same thing. But this morning, we're just going to tackle one of those parables, and that just happens to be the parable of the lost coin. Jesus tells these stories, and so here's his story. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house? Oh, one of these coins is a day's worth of wages. The woman in the story who would have lost the coin would have been a widow. A widow with a lost coin is a big deal because that's a day of wages. Just so you know why this lady's turning on the lamp and sweeping the floor. And search carefully until she finds it. Because when she finds it, if it's a day's wages, and she only has 10 to begin with, when she finds it, if she's a widow, she has children. And if she would have lost that coin, not been able to find it, she would have probably been failing her children and her household. But, you know, just imagine the relief when she's able to find it. She calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Over one sinner who repents. looking at this passage, and this passage gives us a 30,000-foot view on joy. Joy is a person, Jesus Christ. This passage uses a relational word. It uses a word in which Jesus' followers, in which we today are to understand. It uses the word repent. Repent is metanoia. Metanoia means when a person's life is turned upside down, when their life is transformed, when they encounter, when they have a personal experience with Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and He comes into their heart and they have a new relationship and He becomes their joy. Their joy. It's what's happened to me. It's what's happened to those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ in your life. When you've repented and when you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, metanoia occurs, transformation inside of your heart, right? You experience it. And Jesus becomes your joy. He becomes an unexplainable, He just becomes your joy. This is what this passage is talking about. It's a 30,000-foot view of what joy is to heaven. That for heaven, joy is when a person repents, when a person encounters and comes into relationship with Jesus Christ. That is joy. And that is what heaven rejoices in. And that is heaven's joy. And shouldn't heaven's joy become the perspective for us in what we understand joy to be? Is that when we look at people, now this is a widow and she lost the coin, but it doesn't matter about people's socioeconomics. It doesn't matter if it's a widow looking for one coin. It doesn't matter if it's a millionaire who doesn't know if they lost the coin or not. It's not about socioeconomics. This passage is about the fact that the only thing that brings a person joy is when they repent, is when they encounter Jesus Christ, is when He becomes their joy. There's two young people in my life, and they don't come here, and their families don't go to church, but they are two beautiful young adults, and they're working through some things in their life. And let me tell you something, they are afraid, and they are uncertain, and they are lonely, and they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He is not their joy because they have not had metanoia happen to them yet. But you know what? I have two young adults in my life right now. And I am determined. And I have taken the I promise that I'm going to share Jesus Christ with them. And there's no reason that I should stand by. And there's no reason that they have to go on living a life of fear and uncertainty and isolation.
Every burden I have.
I ask you to stand with me this morning. The book of Acts, as the church is born, the books of Acts in 1, verse 8 says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Who is my? Jesus Christ. That we will be Jesus Christ's witnesses. And if we are not his witnesses, who will be? If we're not witnesses for Jesus Christ, who will be? So may we promise, may we resolve in our hearts, may we take the promise that we will be his witnesses, that we will share Jesus Christ. Because if it's not us, if I don't share Jesus Christ with those two young adults in my life right now, if I do not share him, who's going to? Who's going to? And same with you, you have coworkers and you have neighbors and you have friends and you have family members and you know them and you know those who are in need of Jesus Christ. And if you don't share him with them, who's going to? So may we go forth being passionate and authentic witnesses for Jesus Christ in his name. Amen.